dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sturdy's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, it is, T. What, boy, that's a hell of a... I tell you what, man, them openings, man, you that's a hell of a job you do over there, man. I greatly appreciate that, man. Paints a good, a nice, solid picture for your boy Dirty here, man. I appreciate you appreciating. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate everybody out there listening, too. If you listen on the AM, FM dial, greatly appreciate you. If you listen on, watching and listening on YouTube and Twitch, greatly appreciate that, too. But we would like to encourage everybody out there to download that Audacy app. AUDACY. There's all kind of features there. Obviously, the rewind feature. If you miss something earlier in this show, or maybe you missed something on In the Loop with Reg and John and Fig, and maybe you missed something on Sean and Seth's show early in the morning, you can always use that rewind feature to go back and catch that, as well as all the podcasts, including the Big Orange Wagon there with Patrick Creighton and our guy Tyler Milner right there. You can find them all on the Audacy app. That's AUDACY. Download that sucker and keep us on your hip. Take us everywhere you go. I had a friend of mine tell me last night, I hadn't seen him in a long time, man. Yesterday when we were over in Baytown, I had a buddy walk up and say, man, he's talking about all the different trips he's taken, all the different countries he's visited over the last 2 years. And the point he was making, show, was, I listen on the Audacy app everywhere I go, man. Different countries all over the place. I take the drive with us. So it comes in handy. Make sure you download that sucker and keep us on your hip. We'd greatly appreciate that. All right, the Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley, Ron, he spoke. I had a chance to listen to it in full on the way in today. And, I think the more we hear Nick Caley talk, I think the more of that peek behind the curtain that we get with the Texans offense, good, bad, or indifferent, I think it's a little bit more of a peek behind the curtain of what we get and what we're dealing with. This week, earlier in the week, we actually heard Todd Bowles, the head coach, defensive-minded head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, make it loud and clear that what the Texans are doing offensively is the New England offense. This is not a Sean McVay influenced offense. This is a New England Patriots offense. And so I think that was one. I think, and look, we knew that to some degree, but to hear one of the best defensive minds and an opposing coach make that statement, I think it's worth noting. Now, Nick Caley, in his speaking today, he said something that, again, I think even further pushed that reality, if you will, that the Texans are, in that mode of playing offensive football in a very similar way that we saw the Patriots do back, hell, 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And Nick Caley, I think when he was talking about the offensive line today is when it was really obvious to me. And not only is it obvious that it's the Patriots game plan offense, but it's obvious what I believe this offensive unit really, really struggles with. Here's Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator, talking about how can you help the offensive line with their issues?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think everything that we think about before we draw up any pass play is with the intention of having the best protections that we can possibly have. So, you know, that's personnel driven from us, from the teams we're playing. That's schematically what challenges, what front structures, what coverage contours you're going to see, what teams activate certain blitzes. And we go at those things on the front end of the week, and then we try to set the table from that standpoint to build the pass concepts from there.
I think, Ron, I think that's I don't know if you heard it the same way that I did, man, but that's very telling, right? You know, you want to talk about not getting Nico the ball, which we will talk about here in a minute. If you want to talk about not getting Nico the ball and having to get, you know, certain coverages and certain protections can push you out of getting Nico the ball, that's how you get there, right? Is you go – everything on offense is revolved around this offense having the perfect pass protection every single play. And the frustrating part about that, Ron, is that when that is the case – then the defense has the ability to hold you at the line of scrimmage damn near till you get a delay of game every time. Give you different looks, show you different looks, make your quarterback, make your center work and process and decipher what you're doing, because you know if you move and you stack the line of scrimmage that they're going to spend time trying to get the perfect protection to block everybody up to guess who's coming and who's bailing and try to block this thing up perfect and get it communicated so that then they can run their offense. And I don't know about you, Ron, but when I hear that, it's extremely frustrating. This is, to me, it is obviously a way to play offensive football. There's some guys that believe in calling plays using two words and playing fast, and there's guys that believe in what Nick Caley believes in. But it is very frustrating to me, Ron, to hear the thought of trying to protect everybody every single play instead of just calling your protection that you know you can execute, that your quarterback knows where the hots are, everybody knows which way they're sliding or which man they have, and then you just react in real time to what that particular defense brings or doesn't bring. I guess my overall point here with this, Ron, is this is going to be a long, tough learning curve for CJ Stroud with this approach to offensive football.
Yeah, and it seems, I think the first thing when you hear it, and we've talked about it, Clint, is they just need to simplify this more. It is complicated. There is so many things that it seems like that is going through multiple people's minds, right? The quarterback, the center, before the snap happens, and you only got, and that play clock is at 5 before you know it, and you got to read so many other things that they just need to, it sounds like they need to make it more simple. And maybe it is just week 2 and they'll grow into this more, or maybe they need to be honest and look and say, all right, what is best for our quarterback and how he handles it? Is it best that our quarterback isn't thinking about all those things before the snap, and that he can look at the secondary and see what the coverage is? Or can he really handle and be at his best to call out who's coming, the blitzes, the protection, and then look at the coverage? As you've said, Tom is really the only one that's really excelled at doing all of that in this system and week after week. And I think they're going to have to get serious about that, because they've messed up. We know CJ can play ball, and we've seen that before. And right now, whoever is involved in the coverage, in the protections and everything, it seems to be too complicated, and guys aren't just playing ball. Instead, they're doing a lot of thinking and doing a lot of things before they even get the snap.
Well, Ron, I think one thing that I think listeners can really kind of picture is last week when you're playing Tampa Bay early in the game, the pass protection was tremendous. I mean, yes, there were a couple of guys that got beat here and there, but you remember C.J. Stroud just sitting back in that pocket 3-4 times, just sitting back there holding it, patting it with 4 or 5 yards of separation. Well, the defense was sitting in a 4-3, 4-2 defense. They were just sitting there, so the O-line knows we're blocking these down 4, and if the mic comes, we'll get him, and the backs know exactly who they get. They were real comfortable. And it's funny how when they're real comfortable like that, we're not talking about technique and mechanics, right? Now, your quarterback's sitting there just fat and happy, Cadillacing in the backfield, right? But the minute that they walk those – mark my word, the minute they walk those A-gap linebackers up and start moving guys around and stacking 7-8 guys around the line of scrimmage, that's when the Texans struggle, and that's when you know it's a communication issue. And we keep harping on this communication issue, and the reality is you're getting communicated to death. You're just getting communicated to death, and I think you got to either simplify the way that you said that, as you mentioned, Ron, which I don't think is going to happen, by the way, because once you commit to this kind of offensive line play and this kind of protection, I think the only way you can do is just stick in there and hope your quarterback.
But do you think that's what you're watching? Obviously, you're not in meetings and everything, but what you're watching, do you think that is something they need to do? Is simplify this?
Well, I think a wide open kind of overarching approach would be to simplify it. But I think you at some point you've got to just call your protection and respond and react. Hey, I'm gonna protect myself. my quarterback's backside, and I'm going to protect the A-gaps, and I'm going to be exposed over here to my quarterback's front side on the right. We're going to put, you know, we're going to obviously have receivers over there that are going to be my quick options. We're going to snap the football, and we're going to play. We're not going to let somebody walk backers up in the A-gap and make this thing difficult on everybody involved and just hope like hell that we're able to communicate it. I just don't think that's sustainable. I don't think. And the other thing is even if it is, we don't know if C.J. Stroud can handle that, Ron.
Yeah, that's what I mean? I was getting to. Like, they need to be maybe they need to be honest about if this is the best thing for their quarterback.
Right.
Having to figure out all of that each play before he takes a snap.
Yeah. Well, they obviously think it is, but I wonder how much of the confusion they're going to allow to happen. I think it's a very steep climb for C.J. Stroud, and I think it's going to be a very steep climb for Nick Caley in this league as a play caller. When he's going back to the overall point here, what we're discussing is the audio of Nick Caley basically saying we're trying to get the perfect protection every time. That's where our play design starts. I think that is a steep hill to climb, and good luck getting that done at a point where you can score points and win games in the NFL. That's not all Nick Caley said, Ron. Let's move on real quick to this Nico Collins point. I think this is really, really good audio, and I've already let the cat out of the bag. I didn't mean to do that, but I want you to listen to this audio, and I want you to tell me if you know who he's talking about, all right? I've already let the cat out of the bag, but this is audio about one particular player on the offense. Here's Nick Caley talking about that player.
Yeah, I think it's never one thing, right? It's the totality of a lot of different things. It could be, you know, is there a pressure that might affect it? Are there different things coverage-wise that might present themselves? So every play is its own entity, and what I can tell you is, just from the standpoint of evaluating and assessing those things, you know, we try to go in with a really good plan. Every single week, we have intentions to try to get our guys in good position to make plays, and that's going to always be the focus. So coming out of the game, you know, I think, you know, people do different things. There's certain things we might be off schedule on a play, and it kind of disrupts maybe the initial reads or stuff like that. But, you know, the intention is to go out there and try to, you know, play clean football. And if, as long as we can continue to improve on that, I'm very confident in the group that we'll be able to do that.
If you're wondering, he was talking about being able to feature Nico Collins early in week one, but struggling late in the game. He was talking about getting Nico Collins the ball, basically.
You said if you were wondering.
If you were wondering, had I not said Nico's name, you'd have had no clue. Like, I mean, that again, for me, the Nico Collins questions are very, very simple. And truth be told, Nick Caley answered. He's being very transparent. And so I admire and respect him for that, but I just don't like what I'm hearing. When asked about being able to feature Nico Collins at one point in the game and not later, he says, well, there's several different things that could affect that. No, that's the point. There shouldn't be several different things that can affect that. You should be able to get Nico Collins the football if your backup quarterback's in the game and all of your other receivers are hurt and you can't run the football. You should still be able to get Nico Collins the ball. It's that easy. Ron, I mean, and even answering the question, I mean, look, getting the ball to Nico is definitely a struggle for Nick Caley. Hell, discussing his inability to do so seems to be tougher.
Yeah.
Like, the part of this one here is it doesn't seem like there's going to be any effort into getting Nico Collins the ball early and often and making sure it happens throughout a game consistently. And I'm talking about in a high percentage manner. I'm not talking about going out there and throwing a fade to him and throwing a double move to him and then throwing a corner that he's covered and throwing the ball out of bounds by 10 yards. Like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about high percentage. Nico Collins should have 4 to 5 touches that are 95%+ completions, whether it's hitches, slants, screens, tossing it to him out of the backfield. He should have 4 or 5 touches before the game ever starts with that right there.
I told
you that should be the floor, Ron.
I told you, Clint, I just watched this Jaguars team last week play the Cincinnati Bengals. And in that game, Ja'Marr Chase, the Bengals' number one receiver, with a backup quarterback and Jake Browning. I called him John earlier. Sorry to the Browning family. Jake Browning with a backup. They gave him 14 receptions. That's the same amount of targets Nico has on the season, 14 receptions. I'll be damned if they can't find a way to get him the ball. Mm-hmm. I'll be damned. At this point, I hadn't gone full-blown yet, Clint. But, I mean, you may hear some Bobby Slowick out my mouth next week. Damn it, Bobby Slowick was able to do that last year. The last 2 years, he could get the ball to Nico Collins. I'll be damned. I just watched the Bengals do it. They should be able to do that.
Well, I just on the Nico, whether it's a Nico Collins front or the trying to be perfect in pass protection front, or it's the cut splits with the wide receivers blocking in the box kind of deal. I think they are pot committed to it, Ron. I think this is my overall point of this Kaylee audio. The more we hear from Kaylee, I think he and they are pot committed to playing a certain style of offensive football. And the question is, how many games do they have to play poorly on offense before they adjust? Right now, I think they're pot committed to mechanics and technique have to be better. It has nothing to do with the alignment. It has nothing to do with muddying up the line of scrimmage and the box for the quarterback. It has nothing to do with how often we are or we are not getting the ball to Nico Collins. It has nothing to do with all of that. It's all about mechanics and techniques, and they are pot committed to that, man. So I guess my overall point to fans is don't expect much to change this week other than you're playing a lesser opponent, and so you should be able to produce a bit.
All right, an update here coming up on the Astros. We told you about Isak Paredes. We have the latest on that. Also, an update on Yordan Alvarez as well. And we'll give you the lineups for the Astros as they start a humongous series against the Mariners. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Talyard Brewing in Sugarland, right next to the Sugarland Space Cowboys Ballpark, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back as we are live here on a Football Friday. And we're having fun out here, man. Shout out to our guy Jazz, who is our latest winner. If you're on your way, go ahead and put your name. Get ready as soon as you come in here. Our raffle box is right here. Put your ticket in there. You'll have a chance to win. We have Texans tickets, courtesy of our good friends at Houston Ford Dealers, to give away here in the 5 o'clock hour. Those are our big prizes. So you got to be here to win them. I know my man, Clint, my man, Steven and Shannon text me and said, where y'all at this week? Where y'all at? I said, Sugarland. You remember last week they left and Shannon's ass won them tickets. And we had to go to the next winner. And I don't see him here. I'm just saying, if you are in here and you put your name in there, if you win, you out if you're not here. So make sure you're in the building to win those prizes. And we also have Academy Sports and Outdoor gift cards as well for you to win we're having a great time. And this is an amazing spot, right? This is the second time we've been here in 3 weeks for Football Friday. It's a great spot. The people here, the staff here are amazing. They've got amazing craft beers here. They got craft sodas. All right, they got an orange soda that you don't even know is orange. It's clear. I'll tell you, I've been here now. My kids love it. They come to me. I ordered orange, not Sprite. No, taste it. It's good, man. They've got everything you need here, and it's a good time. Bring the kids as well. They've got plenty of room for them to run around and have a good time while you enjoy a good adult beverage on a Friday. So come on out to Talyard's here in Sugarland. All right, Clint, we told you and the people earlier about Isak Paredes. The Astros plan to activate him off the injured list for this series. Clint, you didn't think he was going to be in the lineup. Well, they've officially activated Paredes in this. We'll give you some other injury news here in a bit, but the lineup is out, Clint. Pena is leading off, Correa is batting second, and Isak Paredes is the DH. He came right into the 3-hole. I mean, he walked off the IL right into the 3-hole. He is the DH tonight, batting third. Altuve at second behind him. This Cole fella is hitting fifth behind him. Diaz is catching tonight. Christian Walker has dropped to the 7-hole. Okay. Sanchez is out in the outfield along with Jake Myers, who is batting ninth, with their ace, Hunter Brown, on the mound. Again, against Brian Wu, who was pretty good as well, who was an all-star for the Mariners this year. ERA just above 3.302. He is getting the ball for the Mariners. Pena, Correa, Paredes at DH, Altuve, Cole, Diaz, Walker, Sanchez, and Myers as Hunter Brown gets the ball. Clint, I know you're probably excited because this must mean they feel pretty good about him, but how surprised are you that – not only he's in the lineup, but he comes right into the three spot.
I'm shocked. I mean, I'm shocked. I'm surprised he's even back. I'm shocked he's 3-hole. I mean, this is a guy that a couple of days ago the manager was just saying, hey, you know, I'm going to encourage him not to run 100%. I mean, so he's not even 100%. And in game one of the biggest series of the season, you plop him right down in that old 3-hole as a DH. I'm here for it. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I as an Astros fan, I'm stoked about it because this tells me that he's obviously healthier than I thought he would be. I thought this was going to be an emergency bat off the bench, a pinch hit late with runners in scoring position to try to make a – I mean, that's a hell of a pinch hitter given that he's, what, tied for third in home runs.
He hadn't played in months.
You're talking about a 270 hitter and an 800-plus OPS this year. I mean, that's a hell of a bat off the bench. But, no, they put him in that 3-hole. And so, yeah, I'm shocked he's there. He must be a lot healthier than what all the reports, I think, initially had led that could potentially be a season-ending injury, and hopefully he's able to help us. Hopefully he can swing it well, and I don't give a damn if he jogs. I have no problem with knowing he can't run 100%. And, you know, it's I didn't think it would happen, but the fact that it did, it makes me feel good for my squad.
I mean, I'm not as shocked today, but Clint, I had him out for the year, dog.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I thought he was out. I thought he was done for the year this year. And to think that he got back, and it's huge, Clint. And you know what? With the Astros injury issues and luck, every last one of these jokers better try to get back. You know, because I just thought, all right, man, you know, Jordan's back. And I'm thinking, where is the place for him if he does come back? When we started to see him taking ground balls at third, where is the spot for him to come back? And it's like, don't worry, something we'll figure something out. And then, you know, unfortunately, the Jordan Alvarez issue occurred, and now he finds himself out on the IL. We'll get to that in a second. And then there's a perfect spot for him to go because, Clint, if Jordan was playing, even if he was healthy, I don't know where they would put him. I guess maybe they would put Jordan in left field and Altuve at second base if they really were hell bent on getting him in the lineup. And now at this point, you know, they don't really have to sacrifice a lot of defense to get him in the lineup. Interesting thought. By the way, Clint, also more news here. Jordan Alvarez, he is going to the IL, Clint, and it's retroactive to when he had the injury on retroactive to September 16th. He is going on the IL, 10-day IL. So, Clint, that's also not a – we'll see how long that takes, but the 10-day IL, they're putting him there. And then unfortunate news out of the bullpen, Caleb Ort, Clint, has been moved to the 60-day IL. So that would mean he's probably out, you know, for the year there with that injury. But Jordan on the 10-day IL, which you would hope means maybe he can come back in the playoffs if they're able to get there. And then Caleb Ort, he is out. But we'll see what happens when they have to get there. But they put his ass right in the 3 spot as he is ready to go in this series.
Yeah, Ron, if you count the days, I believe the Jordan Alvarez injury happened, I don't know, with 11 or 12 days left in the season. So that would, if you, I mean, just on the number that they throw out there, the 10-day, I think that probably means he could come back for the last one or two games of the season, if not the playoffs. So they're you know, holding out hope that Jordan can still help us. That's a plus as well.
Yeah. Hey, and listen, fellas, tonight, I don't know if he's going to win the Cy Young because the cat in Detroit has been special this year. But they need Hunter Brown, man. They need Hunter Brown to come through and step up and have a huge performance tonight. And he's been great all season. Hunter Brown, this is a cat that's in the Cy Young conversation, 12-7, 2.27 ERA. And he has been nails all season. They need him to set the tone tonight and start this thing off right. They've got their ace. There's nobody else that they would want out here to kick this series off. They need Hunter Brown to go be Hunter Brown tonight.
Well, Ryan, you can argue that they need it more than they probably ever have. I mean, because right now you got a struggling Framber Valdez that I'm not real sure.
That's what I was going to say, Clint. How nervous are Astros fans going to be if Hunter – and not even Hunter, but the Astros lose tonight with Framber having to be on the mound, and you need that second game.
Yeah, I mean, you, not only are you nervous, but hell, I mean, you're watching and you know, watching Framber closely. I mean, you need it desperately. Hell, you need it desperately as we sit right now, much less after the outcome of tonight's game. But yeah, his struggles are going to be, you know, if he can't right the ship and help this team in the playoffs, boy, you talking about going out with a bang, boy, that would be a rough exit for Framber Valdez.
Yeah, it would. Astros big series tonight. It kicks off Brian Wu for the Mariners and Hunter Brown tonight. I was a little kind of surprised that Christian Walker's down there in the seventh spot, but we'll see. We'll see what happens tonight for the Astros. Big start for Hunter Brown and
left, right, baby.
There you go, right there. I guess both teams tied at 84 and 69 atop the AL West. A huge series with nine games to go. As we continue here on a Football Friday, I just want to have this conversation. I am intrigued to see where people are. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, you know, be honest right now. It feels like over this week I've started to see the conversation shift. Do you still believe and trust in the combination of D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud? Do you still believe and trust in that combination? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Talyard Brewing in Sugarland, right next to the Sugarland Space Cowboys ballpark, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as we are welcoming everybody back here live on Football Friday here from Talyards in Sugar Land. Our first winner for Texans tickets last week, Shannon, has shown up. She did lose, though, technically. We want to make sure that's clear. She almost won, but don't be like her. If you are going to put your ticket in our raffle box, make sure you stay until we give the tickets away, because you have to be here. And you make sure you have to stay. Don't blame it. And then don't blame it on your spouse when it's on you, okay? Do not do that, guys. So come on in, put your name in our raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win multiple prizes, including Texans tickets coming up later on this year, courtesy of our good friends, our great friends at Houston Ford Dealers. All right. You know I got to give him hell, Clint. 713-572-4610.
Well, you should.
I should, right? That was a damn shame. Clint had that look in his face, mouth wide open. They left. Yeah, it was tough, man. I mean, and they would have had a good time. We know Steven and Shannon, they'd had a hell of a time. Two tickets. You messed that up, Steven. And it's a damn shame, to be honest with you, what they did. But Clint, I sent this out, 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch, jump in as well. Do you still believe and trust in the combination of D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud? Now, I would have said to you 2 or 3 weeks ago, this is silly. This would be a silly question. But, Clint, you have seen, Tyler, you have seen, it's been a shift in how people have been looking at those two individuals. We've reached a point where we got text in. Tyler and Clint, you could attest that what is so funny with D'Amico? Why is he chuckling? What is so funny? People have lost their minds with him doing the same thing he has done since he's been here. He kind of chuckles. And now CJ in his press conference and how he's been. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. I think CJ was a little bit in his feelings the other day. I said that. But I mean, it feels like there's been a change. Now many more people are texting in or on social media saying, hey, man, I wonder, is he the dude? I wonder, is he the guy? And both of them. And is D'Amico, I've seen this a lot. I don't know that it's fair or accurate, but is D'Amico just a defensive coordinator? Is he really that good of a head coach? I would just say, hold on, let's chill out. D'Amico, what they had when they arrived here, as I've said, that televangelist that was taking over the organization, you know who he is. They had to come over here and fix all of that, and they did that. And they've gone to back-to-back playoffs, and they've won the division back-to-back years. So I don't know if I can completely get there. But do you still have that confidence that you trust those two? Because those are the two that made you think that they were a Super Bowl contender. Those were the two that made you feel different about this team and think that, hey, we may reach heights that we've never reached. You're still there. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Clint, I think I know where you are. Are you still someone that believes and trusts in that combination?
Yeah, look, I'm still there. Yes, I would say that I've not jumped. I've not jumped ship yet. I'm still there. Now, I would be lying if I told you that my confidence isn't wavering. The truth of the matter is, you know, I said this along. I said it the minute that they hired D'Amico Ryans was the most important thing about D'Amico Ryans. You got a ton of confidence in him building a defense and creating a defense. And we had all said at this point, hey man, we like kind of how Nick has built this roster, and now he's hired the right coach. And boy, we really like where they're at. And you know, the question then was, can D'Amico Ryans find one, his quarterback, which he found in the first draft, and two, the offensive play caller that can take this thing to the next level? And I think D'Amico has struggled. I think D'Amico has struggled mightily in finding that offensive coordinator. Now, we still don't know about Kaylee, obviously. But I think he struggled finding that offensive coordinator, and now we're in year three, dead in the middle of year three of C.J. Stroud's rookie contract, and we ain't real sure what this thing's going to look like. So my confidence has taken a major hit, but I haven't jumped ship yet.
You said a major hit.
Absolutely.
You're at a completely different space from when we walked into this season right now.
Oh absolutely. Before the season to right now?
Yeah. You're at a
absolutely.
With those two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like I said before, I am shocked. I am shocked at what I see and hear about offensive football before and after games. I'm from the head coach and from the offensive play caller. I'm shocked that there's not more of a – I can understand mistakes happening, Ron. I can understand struggles. I expected that. But I can't understand the same song and dance that we saw from Bobby Slowick of technique and mechanics and execute. I can't just sit by the wayside and let it, you know, for me personally, I can't just be like, oh yeah, I'll trust. Like this is a problem.
All right. I'm going to read some of the responses here on the text line. Just by a show of hands here in Talliards, do you still trust the combination of D'Amico and C.J. Stroud to get you where you want to get? Raise your hand. Show of hands. Well, we had an entire section over here with their hands down. And then but I would say the majority of people, Stevens in the middle, text line, somebody on the text line said, can we throw Nick Caserio in this? Because I'm a bit concerned if I trust him. We've had a couple people here at Talliard say, Nick Caserio, I don't trust. Someone text in, Clint, I trust the coach, but I'm not sure how much I trust C.J. these days. Text line coming in. Yes, I still believe in C.J. and D'Amico. Just think we need equal experience with the offensive coaches as we do with the defense, according to Jermaine, who texted in. Confidence goes to zero if they lose to the Jags. Clinton Ryan, it's just two games. We need to calm down and let them figure this out. Sound the alarm after week four, according to Quincy. So, again, like, I think, Clint, 6 months ago, I think everyone in here would have raised their hands. Hell, they probably raised their hands about Nick Caserio too. I think this would have been a worthless question to bring up right here. But clearly, Clint, it has changed, and I'm seeing it up and down the text line. And Nick Caserio, I'm not gonna lie, is they have just gone outside of the question and gone to Nick Caserio on the text line here, Clint. But I'm with you. I think it takes a major hit if they lose Sunday. And listen, I think everybody is entitled to feel how they want to feel. I think it is fair that, as you said, Clint, it looks the way that it looks, especially from an offensive perspective. So, someone texted in, CJ needs an offensive-minded coach to kind of get things through. But no, man, it's an interesting situation that's going on with the Texans. All right. Also, Clint, coming into this game, one of the things we've also seen that maybe could help CJ in this offense is, can they get a running game to kind of help this team, right? Like we've talked about the misses and the issues with Nick Kaylee, but Clint, they're 20th right now in rushing, averaging 4.3 yards a carry, 99 yards a game. And with that, Clint, C.J. Stroud's got 59 yards, and he's averaging 6.6 yards a carry. So he is actually adding a lot to what is happening with the run game. That is something that I'm going to look at and hopeful we'll see. I know Joe Mixon, wherever he is and however he's feeling, we know Joe Mixon is not here right now, but Nick Chubb, Woody Marks, the hope, Clint, is maybe that is something that could help Nick Caley. Maybe that is something that could help C.J. Stroud if maybe this week they can improve their run game.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you. I've not been super impressed, but I'm not out on the run game. Look, I think there's, you know, there's been a commitment issue. There's been a low snap count issue in this last game. And there, the first game there was a 4-man rotation issue, and then there was a snap count issue in game two. So I would like to see them once again. I personally would like to see Nick Chubb get up around that 20 carry, you know, mark. I would like to see him spread them out to do it. I don't like this cut splits and asking wide receivers that, you know, to get down there and block and do all that. You just bring all that noise to the box, spread them out, and let Nick Chubb, when you do run it, let Nick Chubb run it inside and give him a little bit of space and commit to it. And if and when you he needs a break or if you want to rotate, I'm not opposed to Woody Marks getting in there and doing his thing. And you know, that 1-2 punch there is not bad. But I think for a couple of reasons, again, I think the first game there was that running back rotation for some reason that came out of left field. And then last week there was just – I mean, there were four drives in the first half. Yeah. There were, what, 48 plays, I think. If we're talking about real plays, there was just a handful of plays. So it just never lent itself to really commit to the run. I think the real opportunity they had was down there in that goal line stand when they threw it on third and fourth down. They could have committed more to it there, but I think I would just like to see a little bit more of a commitment to the run game, a little bit more of a commitment to Nick Chubb, and see if you can get that thing rolling, because we've seen glimpses of Nick Chubb really, really doing well in this offense. And so, yeah, I think getting that run game going will help the offensive line from a protection perspective, and I mean, hell, it'll help Nick Caley as well, absolutely.
Text line coming in. I still trust the combination of Ron and Clint. That was the question, right?
Well, here's the deal. You may not like us, but you can damn sure trust us. I mean, we may piss you off when we talk about the you know, we've done, I mean, how many segments have we done today? Working on 9 segments and 5 of them have been negative. That's okay. I mean, that's hell, it's what it ought to be. You can damn sure trust and take to the bank whatever we're talking about. I can tell you that. So I appreciate the trust.
All right, coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire here as we are live in Sugar Land here at Talliard's. Come on out and hang out. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. And, hell, this is a spot where you can pull up and just park with you and your family, your kids, and do your thing, and plenty of good beers. I don't know what that is, but I need to see what that is. That looks delicious. Food, great drinks, everything you need right here, and still prizes for you to win. Right here as we are hooking people up in the final hour. So come on out and have a good time right here for a little football Friday. 5 o'clock fire coming up as the Astros, they get ready for the biggest series of the year. We'll give you all you need to know there. The Texans' official injury report is out. We'll let you know the latest between the Texans and the Jags. That's coming up as we continue right here live on The Drive.